This is the Sideline Slice, presented by Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. Here's your host, Jessica Coody, and Husker Radio Network analyst, Jeremiah Searles.
Welcome back into the Sideline Slice with Big Dog Jeremiah Searles. I'm Jessica Coody, and breaking news off the top, Searles got a deer. You actually had some success hunting over the weekend.
I did. I got out west, went to Ogallala, and it was hot, and the weather was terrible. But we persevered, and I ended up shooting a deer out there, so it was fantastic. Got a buck down, which was great, and so got that all processed up in the last night, cut it up, got it in the freezer, and now we get to eat more deer and bring in Kyle deer.
I was going to say, you made Kyle sick with the when you were processing the meat, that photo that you sent. I don't think Kyle's stomach.
You didn't like that one?
No, I don't think he took that one too well.
Well, don't worry. He can eat it now and feel better about it. It's been very well taken care of.
So you're bringing in, for Iowa, you're bringing in deer, elk, and bear?
I don't have any of the bear yet. The bear's not back from the processor yet, but I have elk and deer that I will bring in for Kyle.
Okay.
He's probably going to avoid me. He's probably going to run around.
I've tried deer. I don't need to try the deer. I've tried it, but I will try the elk. I've never eaten elk, so I will eat that with him so that he's not flying solo.
Yeah, no, I mean, he better eat it too or I'll shove it down his mouth. All right, good times.
Oh, okay, well, we already did the breakdown of, the win over UCLA last week and a big bye week. We had Rocco Spindler on in earlier as this week's Cornhusker conversation. And it's funny because Coach Rule said this last week in the TV show about, for some of those older guys, this bye week is really needed, really necessary. You could tell Rocco, he's like, yeah, it was nice. We got to really take care of our bodies and kind of get recuperated, watch the younger guys get after a little bit, and now they're ready to go again. But I think it was a good week for some of the older guys. You can speak to that, I'm sure. Like, it's a long season, and it's probably a much-needed bye week for a lot of these older guys that have played a lot of football.
Yeah, these late season byes are crucial when you're an older guy, and it really just allows you just to take a deep breath. You know, when you get to this point, you've played a lot of college football over your career and you played a lot of ball, like, you're just beat up, right? The body's tired, and this gives you a week to get back in the weight room and lift heavy, right? Lift a heavy load because you don't have to play a game on Saturday, and just get some of that strength built back up in your body, whether it's a heavy squat, a heavy bench, or, you know, things you haven't been able to do because you have to be ready to go out and play 60, 70 snaps on a Saturday. Now you've got a full 2 weeks to be able to really get in there in the weight room and recover, but also keep the strength up. You know, people think about recovery as I just stand around. There's a difference of just like recovery and active recovery. And the active recovery of getting in the weight room and pushing yourself and getting in the cold tubs and then really rejuvenating yourself, not just resting, can pay huge dividends as we head down the last two games here.
What about just for the offense coming off, you know, the first week they were able to obviously tailor the things towards TJ, but you only have 5 days to do that. How beneficial was this week too, probably, I'm assuming, for Dana Holgorsen and company and Glenn Thomas to be able to continue to develop a game plan with TJ, especially now that there's some things on film to continue to add some wrinkles with him?
Yeah, you know, just because Rocco and some of the other guys aren't playing doesn't mean Latif didn't take every single rep this week, because I promise you he did. Right? He needs them. And so you got him a 2 weeks worth of reps with the one unit and throwing to the one receivers and hitting the timing and the snap counts and all of those things getting played up. You've now been able to hit those things with him and start seeing, okay, these are the things he really is starting to feel comfortable with and excel in. Here are the things we put on tape. So let's see if we can get away from that, or how can we get to that in different formations so we don't become predictable, right? And can we start adding more to TJ's plate? Can we start adding some more things on him that we didn't want to put for his first road game and his first true start? He excelled in the things we gave him. How much more can we start to give him without overloading him? And that's just a question that's going to come as they get to the end of this week. How comfortable are we with the game plan? What do we need to take in? What can we add? What can't we add? And hopefully it's just another nice, simple, compact game plan with a lot of high success percentage complete throws, and obviously relying on EJ in the run game.
All right, well, let's preview Penn State, because, again, we already dove into it. Normally we break down the previous week and preview, but we didn't preview Penn State last week. So 4-6 is Penn State coming into this one, still fighting to even get bowl eligible. It's going to be senior day, the night game, all of that. First of all, did you play at Penn State?
Yeah, I did.
At night?
Not at night. It was an afternoon game. and we won the game on an overtime field goal by Pat Smith. We were able to win that game in a snow game. Kenny Bell had a kickoff return. Unbelievable atmosphere. That place is super, super fun. The stadium looks like it's an Erector set put together, but absolutely awesome place to play. If they haven't upgraded the away locker room, it's still in a temporary building. So it's a very kind of old school feel with a really fun environment. And I heard they're doing the whiteout, so it's going to be sweet.
That's the point I was making is, despite the whatever's going on with Penn State right now, it's their last home game. That's a proud fan base. It's the night game, the whiteout, all that kind of stuff. It's still going to be a challenging atmosphere. And Kyle and I were talking on Sports Nightly, probably other than Minnesota, really the first road test, because UCLA was mainly Husker fans. Maryland was mainly Husker fans, especially on the Nebraska sideline. They were way louder. I'll put it this way. The Nebraska fans were louder than the other teams. And then obviously Arrowhead was a home game. So this is, like, really, other than Minnesota, the real first true road test, which is crazy that we're saying that in November.
Yeah, I mean, this place, I think, even with all the turmoil and the firing of the head coach and everything that's gone on, the fans are still going to show up and show out. I mean, this senior class has given them a lot of wins, a lot of memories, a lot of chances to go to the playoffs, all those things. And so I think this crowd will be into it. I think this environment will be rowdy, and it's going to be a huge test for the operational standpoint of our young quarterback. Can we continue to get things in and out of the huddle? Can we get the plays called, not have to use unnecessary timeouts? Like, those are all things that, yes, it's like early in Latif's career, but it's late in the season. And so we need to make sure that he gets sped up to the operational standpoint that we're going to need him to be in order to make this offense run. And then defensively, we got to stop the run. I mean, they are going to try and run the football on us. They've got a very good back, Catron Allen. He's a guy that I really think could give us some fits if we don't try and bottle him up.
Okay, but going back to like 6 weeks ago, if I would have told you that Penn State would have just been trying to get bowl eligible and TJ Latif was a starting quarterback, what would you said about this matchup?
I'd have been like, what time warp are you living in, Jess? Because that doesn't sound very familiar at all. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think all of us, when the schedule came out, looked at this game and were like, man, that's going to be a tough one. Like, that late November going to Happy Valley, that's going to be a really tough one to try and squeak out against a potential top 10 team, playoff caliber team. You look at it now and you're going, pretty winnable, pretty dang winnable game. I think that, no, the 10.5-point dogs thing is crazy.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that too. That's pretty wild, right?
Crazy to me. I don't get that at all. I mean, I can see them being like 3-point favorites because it's home and seeded, but 10.5 points seems absolutely nuts to me on that realm there. But I mean, to the other stretch, that top 10 team talent wise, yes, Drew Aller's gone, but that talent wise on defense is still there. The athletes are still there. I think you look at the way Nebraska tackled in space last week against Nico, raises some questions about what we're going to be able to do or not do on that front as well. But I think overall, this is a game where you're looking at it from a Cornhuskers perspective going, yeah, very winnable game, very good opportunities to go in there and give Happy Valley a fight.
Okay, let's start with the, you mentioned it, just the run game for Penn State, and Coach Rule has talked about it. We've heard about it all week. We know that that's what Penn State is going to try to do, is run the football, because, hey, we've struggled with that at times. So what can Nebraska do? Probably not going to fix all the problems, right? But how can they be better and try to at least slow down a little bit what Penn State's going to do if they try to just run it down the throats on Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. I'm going to tell you, they've got multiple high-round draft picks on that offensive line. Drew Shelton is a fantastic. Vega, the guard, fantastic. Right, Nolan Rucci, very solid player. Dawkins in the middle. This is the most talented offensive line we will face in back-to-back weeks. Penn State and Iowa are going to be the best offensive lines that we face all year. And so it's going to be not as much schematically, not as much X's and O's. Dudes just got to show up and win matchups up front. I'm looking at Cam Lenhart. I'm looking at Van Poppel. I'm looking at Judy. I'm looking at Keona Davis. And I'm going, boys, this is your time to show up and show out against the most talented guys you're going to play all year. Because if you don't, and we let those guys displace you, and we let them climb onto the second level with Shavers and Wright, and there's holes, and we're not letting Allen get stopped before he gets through the line of scrimmage, we will be in trouble. Like, that's how they want to play. They want to rely on the strength of their team, which is their offensive line. And we need to build some confidence of being able to say, hey, we shoved it against this really good offensive line heading into Iowa week. And so that's what I'm going to be looking at, is it's not, there's really schematically, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be, we win off these things. It has to be our guys are rested, our guys are ready to go, and they play with a fire on them to really create negative plays in the run game like we did against UCLA.
So, and Coach Rule also talked about this. It's not just on the defense. The offense has got to do their part, too, against a team like this. What is this like for an offensive lineman going into a matchup where you know that it is going to be on the guys that are in the trenches to battle this one out, and probably the more physical football team wins this? I know they like to say that every week, but some weeks are more different, right? I mean, some weeks have a different feel for those guys up front, right?
Yeah, this is one of those weeks where there is no sugarcoating it, right? If you don't show up physically, you're going to be caught with your pants down, and it's going to be ugly, and it's not going to be fun, and you're going to get embarrassed, right? This is as simple as the Minnesota week, right? We all knew the most physical team was going to win that game in Minneapolis, right? That's just how Minneapolis's Minnesota Gophers have built their football team. We didn't show up physically, and they shoved it to us. Same thing here with Penn State. And that's part of what I'm looking at from this Husker team from a growth perspective of, did we learn from that Minnesota Gophers game? Did we learn that we can't just show up on the road, not bring our own energy and not bring our own physicality and get absolutely punched right in the teeth and then try and respond from there? Or are we going to do the punching? Are we going to show up on the road in a whiteout and go, hey, how do you silence this loud crowd? Long drives, converting third downs, being efficient, staying ahead of the sticks, not giving them something to cheer about. I want to see this offense take advantage of those type of things, and I want to see them grow from the mistakes that were made in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and not make those same mistakes in Happy Valley.
Valentino's, a slice of home you just can't get anywhere else. What started with a treasured family recipe has become a Nebraska tradition for over 68 years. Proud to be the official pizza of the Huskers. What did Penn State do so well defensively against Indiana? I mean, that was one of the toughest going days for that Indiana offense. I mean, they're explosive, and Penn State was able to slow them down for the most part all day. What did they do defensively against Indiana that worked well?
They didn't allow the big play. That's what Indiana has feasted on all year long, was the explosive plays, right? 20 plus yards or more, either through the air or through the ground. And when Indiana gets rolling, it's similar to USC. They keep the pressure on the gas, and they keep you guessing on defense, and they're pushing to the line of scrimmage, and they're getting lined up, and they're going. Penn State really eliminated the big play for Indiana and made them earn it all the way down the field. And when you try and just play that coverage where they kept everything in front of them, it put a lot of pressure on their front four guys to win, which they did. They got to Mendoza quite a bit. But overall, I think they took the game plan approach of nothing over our heads and just rally to the ball and tackle, because they have really good athletes in space. So I think from the approach of, hey, we're not playing the high-flying offense of Indiana this week. We're playing a team that wants to run the football, give the ball to their Heisman candidate and Emmett Johnson, and really try and run through him. I would expect very stacked boxes. I would expect the safety be rolling down, single high safety up high, corners pressed in tight man coverage. And I think they're going to dare us to try and open this thing up through the air and really just not let them get beat through the run game.
Okay, so, but, you know, when you have an offense like, and like you just said, what's the key to that when it's like, hey, we're going to take this away and, hey, we're going to keep doing it? You know, what's going to be the key for the offense to continue to roll through Emmett and allow Emmett to open things up?
Yeah, schematically, you have to plan for that. But I think when people don't plan for, hey, they're going to adjust their game plan this week, and you just watch tape of like, oh, well, they're going to line up against us like they lined up against Indiana, so let's game plan that way. Like, you have to be on the front edge if you're Dana Holgorsen and go, okay, how can I predict how they're going to watch us? And go back and watch a lot of tape when they played against heavy run game teams and go, okay, how did they line up against that team that wanted to line up in 12 and 21 personnel and get heavy? And believe that is the scout card, because it's really easy to try and just go as a player, like week to week to week, okay, what they did against Indiana, they'll do against us. But you have to prep for that and go, hey, if this is how they want to line up against this formation and we want to run this play, schematically, we're going to have it blocked where there's a hat for a hat, because the risk of a defense when they line up like that is that everyone gets blocked. And now you're one-on-one with the safety. If you're EJ, because there's a hat for a hat in the run game, you make him miss. There's no one else in the back end there. There's no one else in the back end. So you just have to schematically really match up with that. And it's not easy. It's hard because there's a lot of bodies in there, and all it takes is one guy to miss the block, and then there's a guy standing in the hole, right? But you have to just continue to go, it's going to be tough sledding, it's going to be hard, but if we can get a couple to pop, that's how you loosen those guys up in there is by getting through the initial wave because there's no one on the back end. And then also picking our times to take a shot, right? Picking our times of, hey, we've been running into this brick wall, Dane Key, go deep, right? Hey, Isaiah Hunter, here's a screen pass, right? Make a guy miss, and now there's no one in the back end because that safety sucked up in the run game. So picking our times to take our shots and understanding we're going to have to continue to test the back end of this defense so those safeties can't keep creeping and creeping and creeping. But again, staying committed to the run game and that Emma Johnson needs to touch the ball 28 to 31 times again.
What are the challenges of a freshman quarterback going into this environment just in terms of communication, the cadence, all the things that have to happen when you have an offense in a rowdy kind of environment and you have some new pieces in those places?
Stay out of third and longs. I mean, just try your damnedest to stay out of third and longs. Understand that if you're scrambling on a second and 10, hey, throw it away. Don't compound it and make it now it's third and 13 because you took a bad sack, or try and force the issue. No, don't allow the environment to control your emotion. Right, it's easy to fall into the environment of like, man, this place is crazy. And so then you kind of start feeding into that. Block out the noise, stay in the moment, right? And then operationally, don't beat yourself, right? Don't operationally get delay of games because you're late with the play call in, or have guys in motion because you're talking, or miss the snap count, or whatever it is. Like, we can't beat ourselves before the ball is even snapped on offense, because not only does that put us behind the sticks, it also keeps that crowd feeling like they're making an impact on the game. And the more as a young quarterback you can try and take the crowd of it by controlling drives, long completed passes, easy stuff, completions underneath, like that'll slowly slow that crowd down, and then you'll feel more and more comfortable. But if you're getting third and longs, you let this crowd get into it, it's really easy to rattle a young quarterback.
Okay, so what will be your keys for Husker victory in this one?
Yeah, I think special teams is going to play a role in this game. You know, they've kind of been on the back burner the last couple of weeks, and teams have been really trying not to let the special teams of the Huskers affect the game. I think we're going to need a big special teams play this week, whether it's a blocked kick, a return, a big return. We need special teams to come back and be a factor in this game more than it has been in the last couple of weeks. I think on the passing side of the football, we need to have a few, I'm going to say three 20-plus yard explosive pass plays. I think that's going to be important, of whether it's play action or whether it's a deep shot on a called concept. But at one point in time, we are going to have to let Latif let this thing rip and let this thing go 20 yards down the field. I mean, I'm not talking about a screen pass that's a 20-yard gain. I'm talking about a ball 20-plus yards in the air to really extend the back end of this defense. And then on the last piece there, it's going to be stop the run. You got to stop the run. You have to make sure that you bottle this thing up. You have to keep this back in check, or else he's going to make it a really long day. Because just like I said, they're going to go back and they're going to watch the Minnesota game. They're going to watch the Michigan game. They're going to watch the USC game of how did these guys run the football on Nebraska. And they're going to mimic a lot of those things.
And you've said it before on this show, and I've seen it on the sideline. It is just absolutely so frustrating for an offense to just be sitting over there at bay on the sideline, not being able to contribute.
Yeah, just watching them get first down after first down and third down, punt in the box, and you stand up and you clip your helmets, and then they convert, and you're like, okay, and you sit back down, and then third down, punt in the box, you stand up, and then, okay, they got another one. Like, it is truly just a super frustrating and deflating feeling, and then you go out there and you've been sitting for 20 real minutes, might have been like 8 game minutes, but you've been sitting for 20 real minutes, and then something goes awry, and you go 3 and out, and you're like, holy crap, I might not be back out here for another 20 minutes. You know, it is just one of those things where you have to really make sure when offensively, if we're struggling to stop the run, we take advantage of all of our possessions.
All right, players to watch. Who needs a big one on Saturday? Everybody, right?
Yeah, everyone needs a big one. But I think, you know, I'm going to watch Keona Davis. I think he had a really good game against Northwestern. I think he had a really good game the last couple of weeks. And so I want to see him build off of that, because we're going to need him. Like I said, this offensive line is really, really good. And so we're going to need him to continue off that big game he had last week of creating negative plays, finding ways to rush the passer and all those pieces there. So he's my player to watch on defense. And then offensively, I really want to see Luke Lindenmeyer get involved in this game. He's been kind of quiet. You haven't heard a lot from him lately. He hasn't had the big long catch and runs and those type of pieces. I want to see Latif and him build a really nice connection over these next 2 weeks, because he's a weapon that we need to continue to use.
All right. And you're back on Big Red Reaction, right?
Can't wait. 1 to 3 a.m. Big Red After Dark, baby. Let's go.
Another night game for you, your favorite.
I'm flying to Fargo at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. So, yeah, all-nighter. I was really praying for that noon kickoff. But we'll make it work. I think it's actually 11 to 1. So I might actually get like 4 hours of sleep this time.
Oh, well, have fun with that one. And hopefully people are not quite as rowdy as they were against after the UCLA win.
One can hope, and let's just win, and then and people can be really. We had a couple of emotional people too. They're just like, I just love Huskers. I'm like, yeah, me too, man. It's okay. Like, it's all right, buddy.
You never know what you're gonna get on Big Red Reaction After Dark.
That is so true.
All right, and then quick turnaround. So we'll be back to talk again. And
yeah, that's kind of crap, by the way. Have you guys actually talked about how we have had now two night games rolling into a Friday game? Like, I think that's kind of crap from a scheduling perspective.
It's not this week, but how many times this week we played somebody coming off a bye?
Yeah. Yeah, we have not had an easy strength of schedule from like a rest perspective either. I mean, going out east twice now and then coming back on a Friday game, that's tough on a body. So luckily we had this bye, or else that'd have been a lot of moving parts.
We'll talk about that next week going into the
matchup. Talk about it next week after
don't
a
forget
dang
your
victory.
Iowa has bad corn.
Oh, don't worry, the shirt is ready. Except for I have to wear a Hawks by a Million shirt on a podcast I do for Iowa every year because I lost a bet last year.
Oh, dang it. At least not on this one. You can iron
no,
and
hell no.
steam and get that Iowa has bad corn shirt ready to roll.
It is ready. It is primed. The body is willing.
And how about shout out me for being the chat or the picks winner this
That's
week.
For Thursday. Stop it. We don't talk about that on this show. That's a Thursday pick segment. Brought to you by Choices Treatment Center. You know how it goes.
This podcast is brought to you by our great friends at Valentino's Pizza, the official pizza of the Huskers. For the big dog, Jeremiah Searles, I'm Jessica Cootie.
Go Big Red.
Valentino's treasured Italian family recipes have been passed down for generations and still locally owned and operated. Valentino's proudly serving Nebraskans in Memorial Stadium for over 30 years.